जय मुषुपाद ब्रह्मंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सदशरी श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नितलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत गोडि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंदनाथ श्यामगुंड राधा गुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namah Mushnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shrimadhi Bhaktivedanda Swaminidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धरामि भगवद्गीती भवद्वेष्यिनी नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायकपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावोद्धुब्ध गोपालनंदन पार्थोवत्स सुदीर्भोक्त दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं विश्वद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजल गांधारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पांडवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानक केसरम हरिकथा संबोधनाबोधितम लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं भंगं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानंद माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः स्तवैः वेदै सांगपदै क्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Krishna spoke about jnanam in three modes, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. Then karmam in three modes, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. Then karta in three modes, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. So we saw yesterday, mukta sango anaham vadi dhirdi ulsaha samanvidaha siddhya siddhyor nirvigaraha karta satya mucchyade. That's what one who has understood the secret of this karma, as Krishna says there, the happiness in karma is inside us and not in the results. The happiness you experience from the results of a karma is inside us, not in the results. Right? So one who knows these things, one who knows this secret, He is a karta in satyugyam, in the mood of satvagunam. Then the results of the karmam, the happiness of the karmam is inside us. We experience that, not in the results. So that's a little fine difference there. And one who knows this is in the mood of satvagunam. His execution of karmam is in satvagunam. Ragi karma bhala prepsur lubdho himsalmago ashuchi harsha shoganyuda karta rajasa parigirtida. The next verse. The nature of a person who executes karmam in rajogunam. That is this verse. Ragi karma bhala prepsur lubdho himsalmago ashuchi. Ragi means very attached to the results. And also he is enjoys senses heavily. Vishaya lolupada means that attraction for sense gratification in him. And the karma phala prepsu, he is saying there, ragi karma phala prepsu. More than engaging in karmam, his enthusiasm is in the results. More than executing the karmam, he is more concerned about the results, right? Karma bhala prepsu. And he also has lubdho himsalmago ashuchi. Karma bhalarthi lubdha paradravyeshu samjada trishna tirthado sudravya parityagi. More than anything, he wanted to acquire the wealth from others, somehow or the other bring the wealth towards them. And he will always find ways and means to get the money from others, to get the wealth from others. Yajnam has also a name, Tirtham. For example, traditionally people who go to Kashi, when they go there, they perform a lot of charity there in Kashi. And why do they do that? Because the reason for that is when a lot of wealth comes in life, it should be disposed of through yajnam. This was the system before, that when a lot of wealth comes in life, more than what is necessary for living in this world, that wealth was disposed of through yajnam. The principle was not to accumulate, not to collect a lot and accumulate it. That was not accept. That is against the principle of wealth. The Bhikshu Gita and all is teaching us that. Yeah. So when more than necessary, when wealth comes in life, if you dispose it of through yajnam, then you will get purified. That is the benefit from that. You will get purified. Right? Otherwise, what will happen is, in your own life, it will come back in the form of diseases and some all sorts of problems can come in life. In the form of diseases and all other sorts of problems can come back to you if you keep on accumulating wealth without disposing it off. So, more than what is necessary to live in this world, if wealth comes in life, deyam dina janayaja vittam, it should be disposed of somehow. And those who need wealth badly, for them it should be given all for purposes. And in order to find people who need the wealth, they found out this process of yajnam. That is how yajnam came into existence, that to dispose of the wealth more than what is required when it comes in life, how to dispose that off. For that purpose, the yajnas were developed. So, yagam also in the same way, right? In yagam, we have Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. All four varnam presents there. Without their presence, without their cooperation, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, it is not possible to perform yagam. This we have to know. And it is with the cooperation and collective effort of all the four varnam that yagams were performed, right? And all four of them have active participation in the yagam. How to exhaust the wealth? That is the idea behind that. Wealth was always there, even previous times, but in a different form. Now the wealth is in one form. In them days, wealth was in another form. Sometimes wealth was in the form of gold. Sometimes wealth is in the form of land. Nowadays it is in the form of stocks and shares and cash in the bank and all that. So the nature of the wealth may change from time to time, but the principle holds good that more wealth comes, it should be immediately disposed of. Otherwise, it can come back in your own life, either in the form of diseases or in the form of some unhappy events may develop from that. So, but nowadays people think donations are only to be given to Brahmanas. That's the way the changes that happen in the society, right? That is not correct, because only reason Brahmanas are given is because Brahmanas are not allowed to earn by working or doing business. They are not allowed to earn money in that way. When they are doing that, then they have lost their Brahmanyam. That's gone. Right? And that is the reason that they are always given charity. Because they are not allowed to earn. If you can see all this in Mahabharatam and Ramayanam both. The different incidents that happened, right? They are always in poverty. Brahmanas are supposed to be in poverty all the time. You can see when Ramachandra and Sita Devi came back from Sri Lanka, they performed a huge sacrifice and everything was given in charity. And there was nothing left in Ayodhya. To such an extent, they performed charity, right? So, finally, when everything was done, a Brahmana comes in there with the whole belly has gone in, nothing there in the belly, starving, and he couldn't even walk properly. He was carrying a danda in his hand and he was struggling to walk, asking for charity from Ramachandra. That story is in the Ramayana, right? So, that Chijjada Brahmana who comes to the king asking for charity, right? And some or the other, it was given to him at the end, right? So, all others are allowed to work. Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra are allowed to work. Right, and but Brahmana not, and this is the only way they can maintain themselves through charity. Right, karmam, activities, work is allowed for the Shudra. Various ways he can do the work, and all the wealth that is used in the yajnam comes from the Vaishya. Vaishyas have to supply the money for the yajnam. Shudras have to work and they have to earn in that way. And in this way, different varnam has different ways of acquiring wealth in this world. So, so everyone, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they have a different ways of acquiring wealth, right? And it has to be understood that Kshatriyas, normally, they don't accept charity. Brahmanas accept charity, Kshatriyas don't accept charity, right? Because they will always have wealth. And that is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Dhanam Ishwara Bhavascha. These are two specific qualities of a Kshatriya. He gives dhanam always, never takes anything, and Ishwara Bhava, that controlling nature, they are both in the Kshatriya. Right? So, and normally it was done in the past in Tirthas places, like Vrindavanam, like Kashi or Haridwar, Rishikesh, places like that. When they go, people go there on pilgrimage with the intention also that after, when they have, before they leave the pilgrim places, they will give a lot of wealth in charity to the Brahmanas, right? There is a lot of references to that in the history about the charity performed by great personalities. In them days, many travelers used to come from China to Bharatabhumi. Relationship with China was very good. This is only, the problem was only a recent one. Prior to that, thousands of years, people freely traveled from China to Bharatabhumi and back. And they used to come to Bharatabhumi to understand the depth of the Vedic culture. Huan Sang was a great personality who came and he traveled all over. And he has reported about that. And he says about the nature of Kshatriyas those days in his writings. He mentions that, right? And he saw a amazing thing when he was traveling in Bharatabhumi, right? There was a great personality, a king by name Sri Harsha. I think it was in his name these famous universities existed, Nalanda and Takshashila and all that, right? So, and this Sri Harsha was the king who performed the last Ashwamedham in the history, Ashwamedham sacrifices, right? Not only that, he was a great scholar, the Sri Harsha, right? And he wrote a lot of famous literature in Sanskrit, and he was a great Advaita Vedanti as well. So Harsha, he is saying there, when he performed this Ashwamedham, who Sri Harsha, when Harsha performed the Ashwamedham, that time Huan Sang was there, this Chinese traveler, he was there, right? And he noticed what was happening there. The king has given everything in charity, and only the clothes they were wearing, the king and the queen, only that's what they had with them, and they went to the forest afterwards. So this was their traditions. Even among the Kshatriyas followed this. Both Brahmanas won't acquire any wealth. They will only accept charity. They won't work for wealth. And that's way they got out of the trouble from the wealth. Kshatriyas, they gave in charity and got rid of the wealth. Vaishyas were encouraged to perform yajnam to spend all their excess wealth. And Shudras were allowed to work and acquire what was necessary for living. Wealth was not considered a good thing to have because it doesn't help in spiritual life. So, so Sri Harsha, he mentions about this incident with, Huan Sang mentions this incident with Sri Harsha, right? And so Yajnam was, and getting rid of the wealth through Yajnam, right? Yajnam is an opportunity. It's a spiritual practice, this Yajnam, right? And as much as when you get an opportunity to relieve the wealth, more than what is necessary, right? So, a person in Rajasam, Rajasic nature, he will be very miser. Lubdham. Lubdham means holding the money back. That Lubdhana comes from Rajasam, right? And similarly, he finds happiness in giving pain to others, in the sense that he finds happiness in that, right? And similarly, he talks about the other things, lubdham himsa, atmago ashuchi, he is not clean, inside or outside. He is not very particular about keeping himself clean. And manomala tyagaha, bodily and mentally, his chittam is not pure. Chitta shuddhi is not there, right? And ishta prapto, he says here then, ಇಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೌ ಹರ್ಷ, ಅನಿಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೌ ಇಷ್ಟ ವಿಯೋಗೇಜ ಶೋಕ. ಇನ್ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್, ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಹೈಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ವಿತ್ ದಟ್, ಹಿ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಬ್ಲಿಸ್ಫುಲ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ರೈಟ್. ಇಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೌ ಹರ್ಷ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನಿಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೌ ಇಷ್ಟ ವಿಯೋಗೇಜ ಶೋಕ. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ when money goes away he feels terribly miserable, he feels very depressed about that, right? So depression comes to him. And tabhyam harsha shokha bhyam anvidaha samyutaha tasya evacha karmanaha sambatti vipatyoha harsha shokau syadam tabhyam samyuktaha yakarta saha rajasa parigirtida. So he falls into depression or kind of a euphoria happens to him, and you can see their nature very clearly. Their mood keeps swinging. People who have this mood swing, sometimes they are very happy, sometimes they are very miserable. In this way, this swinging, mood swinging is in them, and very quickly they feel happy and very quickly they get depressed as well, right? And such a person, all this nature is in a person who is a karta, who is a vant in action, but doer, who is a doer in the mode of rajogunam, rajasam. So that is what it is. Ragi karma bhala prepsur lubdho himsalmago ashuchi harsha shoganvida karta ha rajasa parigirtida. A lot different from the one we saw in Satvigam. ಮುಕ್ತಸಂಗೋ ಅನಹಂವಾದಿ ಧೃತಿ ಉತ್ಸಾಹ ಸಮನ್ವಿತಾ ಸಿದ್ಧ್ಯಾಸಿದ್ಧೋ ನಿರ್ವಿಕಾರ ಕರ್ತಾ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಮುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇನ್ ಸತ್ವಗುಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ರಜೋಗುಣಂ ಎಸ್ ಅ ಕರ್ತ ಎಸ್ ಅ ಡೂಅ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಹ್ಯೂಜ್ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೋಟಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್, ರೈಟ್. ದೆನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ ದಿ ಒನ್ ಇನ್ ತಮೋಗುಣಂ ಅಯುಕ್ತ ಪ್ರಾಗದ ಸ್ತಬ್ಧ ಷಠೋ ನೈಷ್ಕೃತಿಗೋ ಅಲಸ ವಿಷಾದಿ ದೀರ್ಘಸೂತ್ರೀ ಚ ಕರ್ತ ತಾಮಸಮುಚ್ಯತೆ. ದಿ ತಾಮಸಿಕ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ, ದ ಒನ್ ಇನ್ ತಮೋಗುಣಂ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಕರ್ತ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ನೇಚರ್? ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಇನ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸ್ ಕಲ್ಚರ್. ಪ್ರಾಕೃತಂ ಈಸ್ ಅಯುಕ್ತ ಪ್ರಾಕೃತ ಸ್ತಬ್ಧ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಯುಕ್ತಂ ಅಸಮಾಹಿತಂ ಪ್ರಾಕೃತ ಅತ್ಯಂತ ಅಸಂಸ್ಕೃತ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸ್ತಬ್ಧ ದಂಡವದ್ ನ ನಮತಿ ಕಸ್ಮೈಚಿತ್ ಶಠಃ ಮಾಯಾವಿ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಗುಹನಕಾರಿ ನೈಷ್ಕೃತಿಕ ಪರವೃತ್ತಿಛೇದನಪರಃ ಅಲಸಃ ಅಪ್ರವೃತ್ತಿಶೀಲಃ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯೇಷು ಅಪಿ ವಿಷಾದಿ ಸರ್ವದಾ ಅವಸನ್ನ ಸ್ವಭಾವಃ ದೀರ್ಘಸೂತ್ರೀ ಚ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಾನಾಂ ದೀರ್ಘ ಪ್ರಸಾರಣ ಯದ್ ಅದ್ವಶೋ ವಾ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ತದ್ ಆಸೇನ ಅಪಿ ನ ಕರೋತಿ ಯಚ ಏವಂ ಭೂತಃ ಕರ್ತಾ ಸ ತಾಮಸಮುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರಂ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿ ಒನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ರೆಡಿ ಟು ಚೀಟ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ ವಿತ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಲೇಸಿನೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಡಿಪ್ರೆಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ and what has to be done today he won't do it, he'll keep it for tomorrow. All this is symptoms of tamasa karta is saying here, right? So you will see there ayukta. Krishna says this word yuktam comes in Bhagavad Gita so many times. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukna sapna avabhodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. In many other places also, Krishna keeps using this word yuktam. Yuktam means samahidam. That's the right word for that. That means one who is stable inside. Mind is in a stable, shanti state all the time. Always calm. And he won't lose his balance by any means, right? In the middle of any work, he is in a balanced state, always in a balanced state. And due to different activities or sense objects, Due to that, he is not disturbed. You will see this quality in great personalities. Great personalities, right? So, Mahatma Gandhi had this quality in him. And that is why he was admired for that. Don't look into what Mahatma Gandhi did in politics and all that. We are not interested in that, because that is politics. But as a person, if you look at him, from spiritual angle, his qualities, and this was one of that, right? He was put into the prison many, many times, and while he was there, a lot of things were happening outside in the country. People were demonstrating, and a lot of protest march were happening, and there was overall, all over the country, there was a strong current of fighting for this independence movement, right? And suppose you have traveled away from home and something happened at home, it will create some anxiety in your mind, is it not? So you can see how people are, how quickly people respond to situations. When there's, for example, you can see in the world outside, when football match happens, who has won and who has lost, somebody scores a goal, immediately the young people get so excited about that, and they express their depression in many ways, fighting and drinking and all kinds of things, right? So, similarly in cricket also, you will notice the same thing, the score. And so, all this harsham shogam, happiness and distress, coming out like this, right? Harsham and shogam, both comes to them, right? So, they'll get happy and they'll get depressed very quickly. A simple information is enough for them to make them feel depressed and makes them goes down, right? That is this harsham shogam comes to them. It will call constantly in their life, comes and goes, right? So Mahatma Gandhi's case, even when this freedom movement was going on, there were many, many important decisions to be made. Many, many important decisions to be made, because the whole country was up in arms against the British. After the 1945, the Second World War ended, and the promise was Britain will leave India after the war. It was on that guarantee things were going on. But World War was over, they didn't leave. And that annoyed everyone, all the leaders in all over the country, and they were very much reacting to it, the situation, right? And then the British government arrested a lot of the people and put them in the prison. First the person they will lock up was Mahatma Gandhi, because he was the person who was driving the whole thing, right? So, and many, many important decisions had to be made at that time, because violence was building up everywhere. People were going, Mahatma Gandhi was encouraging them not to become violent, but to protest in a peaceful way, and he never wanted violence. That was his approach always, right? So, and unlike today, them days communication was not possible like today. Telephones were not there, mobile phones, internet, all these kinds what we have. Now everything spread so fast. But in them days, these facilities didn't exist. The only possibility was through newspaper. That was the only media on which everything happened, right? So, they used to lock him up and all the top leaders. All these people, Mahatma Gandhi, Nehru, Patel, they all have been in prison for years and years. They had to spend time there. And they, because they were powerful leaders, there were loads of followers. And they could not tolerate them being in the prison, right? Nowadays we criticize a lot of decisions they have made. That is another side to it. I mean, next generation will criticize current generation. That is bound to happen. That you can avoid that. That's the way the world is, right? So, it was difficult to know what was going on in the world outside. Gandhiji was inside the prison, right? And he won't ask anybody about anything, what's going on outside. They put him in the prison, he stayed in the prison, right? No tension at all. He was like that, right? he sat there and chanted the Ramchandra's name happily, and at the same time he read Bhagavad Gita all the time in the prison, and he wrote articles in whatever that's the only thing he asked from the prison authorities. Give me some paper and a pen to write. That's all he wanted from them, and they supplied that. And he kept on writing whatever he felt, right? So when he was in the jail, people wanted Gandhiji to know everything what is going on, because he was the leader of everybody, right? So in order to get the message to him, it was difficult, because the newspapers were banned from him reading it. It was banned. He was not allowed to read the newspapers. And the newspapers were not supplied to him. This was all the government, the British government was doing these things at that time, right? So therefore, some people decided the doctor was allowed to visit Gandhiji to check his health conditions, because he was fasting as well. And the government was worried that if anything happens to him, the revolution will get worse. So, and they didn't have enough soldiers to control such a huge amount of people. And they knew their own limitations. So what they did was, they will send a doctor to check that his health conditions were normal, that he was not sick. So doctor was going inside. So what they did was, they sent a newspaper through him for the Gandhiji to know what is going on in the country, right? Because the newspaper doctor took it with him, nobody said anything to him, thinking it's a doctor who is coming with his own newspaper. They didn't say anything to him, right? So doctor went to the room where Gandhiji was imprisoned, and he left the newspaper there, as though he has forgotten to take it back. He just left it there on the table, right? The next day again the doctor came, and the newspaper was lying there as he has left it there. Gandhiji has not touched it, right? So he asked Gandhiji, did you not read the paper? He says, no, I follow the rules. Here I have been told not to read the paper. I won't touch the paper, he said. That is how he was. He had a very unusual nature like that, right? He says that he always said this also, that the decisions is not made by me. A higher power is making decisions, right? All karma in this world is conducted by that higher power, Mahashakti, is doing all these things. I'm just a machine under that control of that power, right? And I need to know only what I need to know, right? And otherwise, when I'm lying down like this in this prison, I have nothing to do, he said. And therefore, it is in this solitude that many decisions he made. That is how he was. In solitude he made the decisions, right? We may criticize him for many decisions what he made. Even many people criticize him. But those things are coming from from the mind, from the field of thoughts, you can say, Chindamandalam. That's where it's coming from, right? But he was a yogi in many ways, in the sense that he was aware of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. To a large extent, he knew everything what Bhagavad Gita is pointing at. He has a good understanding of Bhagavad Gita, right? And that is what has helped him to remain unaffected by anything what was happening in the whole country. You can imagine, it's not a small area he was he was guiding. The whole country, such a huge population, was protesting, and there was a silent revolution happening everywhere. Protests and it could go out of control, which means it could be riots, and riots are happening also, right? So then this famous Dandi March happened, right? And when he was walking, that he says that I only knew the first step. After that, how it happened, because they were going for a big fight with this Dandi March, right? And people were talking about it, and you know how it is in India, shouting slogans, and it's not like here, there's a different way of protest there. Everyone is very open about it. So a lot of protests and fightings have happened, right? So even while going on this Dandi March, he was performing, chanting the holy name, and a lot of people were singing prayers, different studies, right? Gandhiji says about that, all I remember is I started chanting Ramachandra's name, Rama Rama, that was his holy name, what he chanted, right? All I knew is when I got there, and that was such a long distance, they walked nearly 200 kilometers, they walked to such a famous march, Dandi March, right? So, we don't have to look into the politics side of it, what happened at that time, right? That is not important, but what is important is that the strength in him on spiritual life and his spiritual understanding. Prabhupada was following him for some time, right? So, the thing is that his faith was very strong in Bhagavad Gita and in Lord Ramchandra's name, right? And when Vishwasam, faith is there and Shraddha is there, things will happen, right? As you study Gandhi's that personality, it's a quite interesting personality he was in many ways, right? He was very fearful of darkness. He couldn't live in darkness. He was always fearful, right? And he was fearful about darkness, but he was not fearful about the guns of the British who were trying to shoot the people. He will go and stand in front of them without any fear. But darkness, he was fearful, right? And because of that, sometimes they had a servant at home when he was young, and this servant lady, she used to go with him to keep him free from fear. She was assisting him in that way. And it is that lady who told him to chant Rama, Rama's name. And that is, she is his guru. This servant lady who was at his home, Gandhiji didn't have any other guru. The servant lady started telling him to chant Ramchandra's name all the time when he got fearful about the darkness. Right? So actually you can say, she gave him Diksha. Now it is all very official, isn't it? Nowadays, Diksha business it has become so official now that people are fighting over it. Who is qualified to give Diksha? Gandhiji's guru was this lady who gave Diksha to him because she instructed him to chant Ramchandra's name, right? Sometimes his wife, Kasturba, she used to go with him because of his fear for darkness, right? And so, such a great personality that he took shelter of Bhagavad Gita and he understood a lot from the Bhagavad Gita, and that is what was driving him throughout his life, right? Adhyatma Vidya, Brahma Vidya, right? And in the middle of such a big revolution, he was able to remain as a yogi. He was able to do that. In the middle of all this revolution, what was going on, he maintained that yogi status. And that was something admirable. It is not possible for an ordinary person, right? You can see that little problems at home disturbs our mind, is it not? But imagine a whole country with so many people absorbed in one mission of independence, and he happened to be the leader at that time, right? So you can see that if that is possible, it should be possible even at home in our life also. So which karma mandalam, in which field you are working, is not the important thing, right? And even those who have criticized him about political decisions, right? That is one side. But they agree on one thing about his spirituality, they could not find fault with him. About his spirituality, they could not find fault with him, right? So we have to look at that side only. Don't look at the other side, right? and that is called yuktaha. That's what the word yukta means. Yukta means that not look into the maya side of it. Politics is all maya. And that will come and go. One type of politics now, these politicians will always playing their games each other. You won't find any truth in that. But as a personality, how far spiritually he was strong and sound within him. And that is, while executing karma, how to remain in the yuktam stage, what Krishna is talking about. He says here, ayuktaha pragrada stabda shato naishkritiko alasaha. Right? Tamasic person will not be yuktam. He is always ayuktam. In other words, he is not steady and or properly stable in his karma. Right? He is not quiet either. Not shandam. Shandi is not there. And he is not calm either. Pragridaha. Says here. Ayuktaha pragridaha. Pragridaha means calm is not calm. And also, which means childish. Is very childish the way he does things. Right? Not childlike, but childish. Right? Balisham. And asamskrita buddhi. Right? And shadhyam. Shadhya means he is, very obstinate in things like that. Yeah. And naishkrutiyo alasaha. So, the another nature of him is he'll be scheming all the time. There are some people like that, always scheming nature. Right? And always trying to use others, one against the other, and use others for to get his way through. Playing games like this, as we say. Playing games like that, right? Para, it says here, Naishkrutiyo alasaha, right? Para buddhi chodana. And if you give him responsibility, he'll make sure others lose their jobs and go. He'll make others jobless, right? Alasaha. He won't do anything on his own. Always this scheming nature, right? If something has to be done, he won't do it, right? And if you employ him, he will make sure the company is shut down, closed very quickly. He'll make the company shut down very soon, right? And if you want to get any company closed, employ one or two like that, they will make sure that it is gone, right? He'll lock it up and hand over the key to you, and the business will be finished, right? So, and his presence is sufficient. That is another thing with him. Vishadi. Vishadi also, most of the time he's tired. He says he can't do anything, right? Vishadam comes on his face. And when you see him, you will feel down. You won't feel any enthusiasm to do anything after that. If you get an association of a tamasic karta, person like him. Yeah. Durga Sutri. Durga Sutri means that what has to be done, he won't do it now. He will keep it for a long time. He will say, there's no urgency. He'll make a decision like that, right? And if they look at you, you will lose all your enthusiasm. They just have to look at you. That's enough. You lose all enthusiasm, right? So, what is to be done today or tomorrow, even after months, it won't be done. He'll hold it back, right? Vishadi Dirga Sutricha says there. He said not. Vishadi Dirga Sutricha. Right. So there are stories made up of all this to explain these things, how these people are. There were two lions, right? And they were in the zoo. There were two lions in the zoo, right? And somehow or the other, these two lions together managed to escape from the prison. Something happened, from the zoo. They managed to escape, right? And they didn't know where they escaped. The zookeepers, they could not find out where the lions have gone, right? So, after caught a lot of search, they were scared about that, and they managed to bring back one lion back into the zoo. They managed to find one, and they brought him back. The another one, they couldn't find it. 3-4 months have gone, and they couldn't find the second lion, right? And finally they caught him in the somewhere in the forest, right? It was not like these days. These days everywhere there are people and buildings and cameras and all that. Those days it's different, right? So when the second lion came back, how come they caught you? Because they caught me very quickly. They didn't take much time, right? So the second lion says to him, I escaped, but then I was hiding in a government office, he said. Why did he say that? Because in government offices, things doesn't happen anything. So he says to him that, every day when I was hungry, I caught one of them and I ate them, he said. And I was staying in the government office. Nothing was happening there. So he said, manager was there, some manager. I ate him. Nobody complained. And there was what they call the peon system. In India, there was a peon system. Who brings chai wala. He brings tea and everything. And so in this way, he said, I survived like this so long in that government office. What he was trying to say was that the government officers are like very lethargic. Nothing gets done. And so therefore all these things get delayed, the files get stored up, delayed and delayed, no decisions taken, and people get so fed up, and then corruption begins. To get things done, they start paying money to the staff. This is how corruption grows. People don't do their job. And the jobs are so secure in the government. I don't know now, but in them days, once you entered into government service, it's so secure, the job, that you just get your salary and they'll come in the morning to office and then they will, clocking was not there, but you have to sign a register. That was the system. Now I don't know what it is, but in them days you sign a register that you come morning, you come to the work, say 10 o'clock in the office or something. And then they will go to do some homework, taking the children to school or going for shopping. Or things like that, or going to doctor appointment, or something. And in the evening, around 3 o'clock, they'll come back. And nothing gets done in the office. It was the way things were like that. And nobody said anything about it, right? So all this is Dirgha Sutri. No work will get done, and they are Tamoguna Karta. That's what he's saying here. Vishadi Dirgha Sutri Ja Karta Tamasam Uchyate. Right? So, there is a story about fishes, 2-3 fishes. They were in the water and suddenly the fisherman came and put the net. Immediately 2 fish ran away. But the 3rd fish thought that he can survive. And he said, I will wait till, because I'm going to get something to eat. And he stayed back, but he got caught in the net in the same way. So, Dirgha Sutri, right? What is to be done today, he won't do that, and nothing will happen. And similarly, this Vishadi Dirgha Sutri nature is in all of us, as far as spiritual life is concerned. We'll do it later, what is the rush now? That's how our whole life has gone in that way. Even when it comes to the old age also, you are thinking still, oh, there is still time left. There is not much time left, right? So that means there is no concern on the spiritual side of life as far as knowledge is concerned, jnanam, and Krishna consciousness, self-realization, all these things, Dirgha Sutris, we'll keep it for the last minute, thinking that it can be done at a later stage in life. That is Dirgha Sutri, particularly in spiritual field, right? So, Dirgha Sutri, right? So, after saying that, that person is Karta Tamasam Uchyate. So, Krishna spoke about Jnanam in 3 modes, Karmam in 3 modes, Karta in 3 modes. Now Krishna is saying Buddhi in 3 modes. What happens to Buddhi, right? That is the next verse, right? Buddher Bhedam Dradescheva Gunata Trivitam Shruno Prochyamanam Asheshena Pradaktvena Dhananjaya. Buddherbedam Drudescheva ಗುಣದ ತ್ರಿವಿಧಂ ಶೃಣು ಪ್ರೋಚ್ಯಮಾನಂ ಅಶೇಷೇಣ ಪೃಥಕ್ತ್ವೇನ ಧನಂಜಯ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಕಿ ಕಾಲ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಧನಂಜಯ. ಅರ್ಜುನ, ದೆನ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೇಚರ್, ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಧೃದಿ, ಧೃದಿ ಮೀನ್ ಧೈರ್ಯ ಆರ್ ಕರೇಜ್, ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೇರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ರೈಟ್? ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಭೇದಂ ಧೃದೇಜ ಏವ ಭೇದಂ ಗುಣತಃ ಸತ್ವಾದಿ ಗುಣತಃ ತ್ರಿವಿಧಂ ಶೃಣು ಇದು ಸೂತ್ರೋಪನ್ಯಾಸಂ ಪ್ರೋಚ್ಯಮಾನಂ ಕಥ್ಯಮಾನಂ ಅಶೇಷೇಣ ನಿರವಶೇಷತ ಯಥಾವತ್ ಪೃಥಕ್ತ್ವೇನ ವಿವೇಕತೋ ಧನಂಜಯ. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮೀ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಹೌ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ವೇರೀಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ದ ತ್ರೀ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೇಚರ್. ದಿಗ್ವಿಜಯ ಮಾನುಷಂ ದೈವಂ ಚ ಪ್ರಭೂತಂ ಧನಂ ಅಜಯತ್ತೇನ ಅಸೌ ಧನಂಜಯ ಅರ್ಜುನ. ದ ರೀಸನ್ ವೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಧನಂಜಯ ಹಿಯರ್ ಈಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವೆನ್ ದಿ ದಿಗ್ವಿಜಯ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಡ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ರಾಜಸೂಯಂ, ರೈಟ್, ಅರ್ಜುನ ವಾಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಬ್ರಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಫಾರ್ ರಾಜಸೂಯಂ. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್, ರೈಟ್? ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಅಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ರಾಜಸೂಯಂ, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದಿಸ್ ನೇಮ್ ಧನಂಜಯ, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಅಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ people who have done big things, big karma in this world, right, they will understand the secret of buddhi, secret of buddhi. In other words, satya buddhi or pravritti, they will understand faster than others. You can see that next verse if you look at it. ಪ್ರವೃತ್ತಿಂಚ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿಂಚ ಕಾರ್ಯಾಕಾರ್ಯೇ ಭಯಾಭಯೇ ಬಂಧಂ ಮೋಕ್ಷಂಚಯ ವೇತಿ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸಾ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್, ರೈಟ್, ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಕರ್ಮಂ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಪ್. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಹಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೋಸ್ ಭಯಂ ಅಭಯಂ, ಫಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫಿಯರ್ಲೆಸ್ನೆಸ್, ರೈಟ್? Similarly, bondage and liberation. One who knows these things, his buddhi is satyam. His buddhi is satyam. Out of that, that one important one is, he is saying here, bandham moksham jaya veti. One who is in saturnam knows which karmam will bind him and which karmam don't bind him. That fine knowledge of karma he has. Bandham moksham cha ya veti. He knows what is bondage, what is liberation. Buddhi sa partha sattviki. Right? So, he says here that that kind of activity or pravritti, karma margam, right? And what will liberate him? Sannyasa margam. He is able to see it clearly in life. But what creates bondage, what creates liberation? He is able to see that. And that requires some skill. That this something is going to bind him, he will move away from that. Something is going to entangle him, he will keep out of that. But something that is helping him to free himself from bondage in this world towards liberation, he will take to that. That is the way he operates, right? So, when he says here, pravrtim cha nivrtim cha, what he is talking about is karma margam and jnana margam, sannyasa margam. He will be concerned about spiritual realization all the time. He needs, that is the nature of sattvagunam. Nature of Krishna mentions that. Sattvika adhyalpingi shraddha, karma shraddha tu rajasi. So, that is an ekadasham, Krishna says that. Yeah. So, sattvagunam means, always it is working in behind, inside, about self-realization, spiritual knowledge, upasana, freedom from bondage. All these things will be in his head all the time. In all his life, all his activities. It is centered around in this. That is where his buddhi is working. Buddhi has accepted this strongly inside about liberation, freedom from bondage, right? So therefore, those kind of activities which will bind him, he will be careful about that, or karma margam, pravarti. And moksham, what causes moksham, which is sannyasa margam, that is nivarti, and he is conscious of them too, right? Karyagari vihita pratishiddhe, kartavya kartavya karuna karana karane, idi edat, kasya desha kala abeshaya drishtva adushtatsanam karmanam, right? So, kartavyam karyam means what is Shastram says, right? Whatever Shastram says no, it is again Shastram, Nishiddham, they are all agaryam. That is not your duty. Only what Shastram says is your duty. Not what you make up from the society. Most of the people are driven by the society. It's not. Society dictates and the people live according to the standard, what the society forces them. Everyone is controlled by the society in every life in this world, right? So they don't go by that, they go by Shastram, right? And based on time and place, right, the results will come, and those karmam which gives results, bhaya bhaye vibhedi asmadidi bhayam tad vibharidam abhayam bhayam cha bhaya bhaye drishta drishta vishayoho bhaya bhayoho karane ityartha bandham sahedugam moksham cha sahedugam ya veti vijanadi buddhihi sa partha sattvihi. So fear comes in life, right? From several places, fear comes, several locations, right? And abhayam comes from several places, which is fearlessness, right? Due to, in our mind, various things causes anxiety in our mind, right? Those things which will create bondage in life and it will create fear inside us, he stays away from that, which is becomes a cause of anxiety later, right? And on the other hand, which helps him to become fearless and to strengthen his spiritual understanding of life and liberation, he will be attracted to that, and that is Satya Buddhi, right? So, here, you see here, that for a grihastha, all this is mostly centered around grihastha, everything. For sannyasi, he has more or less escaped, practically he has escaped from the bondage. It is a householder who is in trouble, really. He is the one in trouble, right? So, veda karmam, vaida vihida karmam, and it is a householder who get entangled in life in various ways, unlike a brahmachari or a sannyasi. He does not do much karma, so he is not bound. Householder engages in karma, plus the family life, attachment, no lack of vairagyam in there, attraction to wealth, that propensity for sense gratification. This is all in the householder, not in the sannyasi. In a normal way, that's how it is. So, sannyasi and brahmachari, he does not have this, all these things, what Krishna is talking about, is more directed towards the householder. Right? So, grihastha's responsibility, dharma, he is the one who does pravritti, work in this world. Right? So, that is where samarpana buddhi comes. Arpana buddhi. Samarpana buddhi comes there. That somehow or the other karmam should be linked to that samarpana buddhi, right? Nivritti is a sannyasa process, sannyasa margam, right? And that gives you eligibility for jnananishta, for self-realization and for cultivation of spiritual knowledge, right? So, sannyasi is, we are talking about in the ideal situations, right? There may be variations, but even then, a sannyasi is still, even though he may not be in the highest platform of a sannyasam, still he does not have the entanglement of a grihastha, right? So, in his life there is no karma, right? So, Atmajnani he is. That means he has already turned into the direction of self-realization. Even though he hasn't got there, at least he has turned his life in that direction, right? So therefore, he has come to Nivrti Marga. Whereas Grahastha, he is entangled completely in bound by everything together. And therefore, karmam never leaves him. He goes on and on and on and on till the end, in one way or the other. And it comes in the form of children, and then grandchildren, and in some cases even next one, the great-grandchildren. Like that, this endless chain goes on, and never able to get out of it. Ultimately, at some stage in life, one has to learn to withdraw from this, right? So, one should have the intelligence to know these things, right? And for some people, if you have this knowledge properly inside, even while they are in the pravritti, they will develop nivritti. They will get out of pravritti and come to nivritti margam. From pravritti margam, they will come to nivritti margam, provided this knowledge was inside, right? People who don't have this knowledge, even when they are in nivritti, their nivritti will become a pravritti, right? So, one who does not know all these things, he is tamasic nature, that is, tamasa karta, right? Sattva karta will know everything properly, right? What one should be fearful about, and what is not favorable for us in our spiritual path, yeah? Krishna will say all these things in several places, in several different ways, he will say. In the 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga, if you study that, Krishna will say there, in Purushottama Yoga, about who is bound in this world, where he talks about the tree upside down, with the roots upwards and all that. He's all referring to the householder. Householder is the one who is seriously in problems in life, yeah? And because of he is two things, karmam is binding him, attachment to family and home, not able to get out of it, and he goes one generation after generation and gets stuck in that and not able to come out of it. Even though sufficient notice has come that he has to leave the world very soon, there's not much time left, but still he is busy with this so-called family and money and things like that. So therefore, there he says in a different way. Krishna says this in that 15th chapter, in a different way, right? So what is not favor? At some point in time in life, one has to learn this, that had enough of it, of this world, learned enough from here, what is the next life? That preparation for that has to begin here. Preparation for the next life has to begin here. And Krishna is saying, dismantle yourself from all connections, money, family, all these things. That dismantling business, one has to do it at some point in time in life, otherwise one will suffer. At the time of death, it will be a very disaster. It will happen, right? So, that's what he's saying here. Bhartrihari mentions this, right? Bhakti to Krishna, right? And fear about birth and death, old age, disease, all these things, right? Bhaktir bhaved, janana marana bhaved, right? So, fear, when he is talking about here, right? If you are not fearful about things where you should have fear, like old age, like death, one should have fear about that. Because only then you will withdraw from the world. Vairagyam won't come otherwise. Vairagyam won't come otherwise, right? So, if you don't do that, it means that there is no intelligence, proper intelligence, right? For example, that you have to cross the road, right? And when you cross the road, you know at a certain place you can cross the road, like the zebra crossing or something, right? And only then, and you'll be careful, both sides, whether any traffic is coming, right? You have to be fearful about the traffic at that time. Similarly, when you see Krishna's different forms, you have to be fearful also. Krishna carries a disc, and you know what that disc is for. That is the wheel of time. Wheel of time, to point out to us that wheel of time, and it is used like Paundraga Vasudeva and others. In many cases, Krishna used that disc. Shishupala's case, he used that disc. So that is, Krishna carries that. Similarly, if you look at Lord Shiva's case, the trident, what's that for? Similarly, Lord Subramanya has one single trident with a single arrow on the top, right? So God's forms have been given these to remind us that this destruction is also a part of the spiritual life, spiritual knowledge, right? And it will affect us, and body will go one day, right? There was one famous sannyasi from Ramakrishna Mission, Siddhinathananda Swami, that is his name, Siddhinathananda. He used to be in Paris, responsible for Ramakrishna Mission in Paris Center. So he says in one instance, he wrote this, that he used to go for a walk in India, wherever he came from, right? So he, one day while walking, he saw one mother was frightening the child. Refusing to eat. It's a big job for the mother, and they're small, he said, not to get them fed. They won't eat, and mother is anxiety, child has not eaten, all these things, right? So Swamiji was walking on the street. So mother is saying to the child, if you don't eat, I will hand you over to him. Look at him, pointing out to the sannyasi who was walking on the street, right? So so Swamiji, what he did, he went up to the mother and told him, is this how you teach the child to frighten about a sannyasi? He said, what you have taught him, he said, right? So so he did like this, right? So people, you should be fearful about those people who is actually causing trouble to you. But not a sannyasi, he's harmless, he's concerned to be non-violent, is it not? Right? We should be fearful, he said to her, you should teach him to be fearful about happiness in this world, about sense gratification, right? There you have to be alert about it, not to get trapped in that, right? And train the child not to become disobedient, and to develop qualities necessary for spiritual life. In this way, he spoke to her about that, an incident like that, right? So, some people, they take risks, is it not? In life, right, where risk should not be taken, they take risks in life, right? And they act as though they are fearless, right? That is an indication that their intelligence is not very proper, in the right place, right? So, where bhayam, fear should be there, where you should be fearless, one has to know that. Yeah, fearlessness means knowledge of the self. That is fearlessness. Atma-jnanam, right? That they don't know. Material existence is fearful. Fearful of material existence, and fearless about self-realization. Self-realization is for fearlessness. Material existence creates fear in our mind, right? And that is what they call it as bandham and moksha. Bondage and samsaram is bondage. Liberation is fearlessness. Liberation. Moksha, right? They do not know that, right? Freedom. Doing things what you like, right? Like they say here, isn't it? Be free. You have to be free for everything. You want freedom, right? And then they get into trouble and bondage comes, right? Free will. So freedom from desire is the greatest thing. Free will is desire. That is where you have freedom, right? Bandham and moksham, bondage and liberation, they don't know because there is no spiritual knowledge in their head. Right? And how to execute the karma. Because they execute the karma in such a way then get bound by that. Even if you do good things in this world, sometimes you will get bound. So they have to learn that art, how to become free from karma. Even if you do karma in good things in this world, you can become bound. So karma has to be executed in that way. They have to learn how to do the karma in such a way, with the samarpana buddhi, and how to become free in that way from karma. Right? Bandham indriya vikshepam. Krishna will say this in the Ekadasham. Right? Bandham indriya vikshepam. When your senses are vikshiptam, that means it is going all over and very disturbed and scattered everywhere, and that is bandham. And when you are able to control the senses and the mind and able to follow shastram, it's moksha. That's the way it is to be understood. Right? And you will see that in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks about in the 18th chapter, if you look. Krishna talks about what is bandham and what is moksha. Anvichedant manobandham mokshamja jnana nishtaya bandham indriya vikshepam moksham eshamja samyamam. So, bandham indriya vikshepam, if your senses are scattered all over and senses are vikshiptam, always in a agitated mood and scattered, that is bandham. And moksha eshamja samyamam, if you are able to control samyamam, indriya nigraham, samana samyamam, shamam, damam, all this is that is moksham. Krishna says that in this 18th chapter when he is discussing about varnashama dharma. That's when he is saying there, right? So, now most of the businesses, they agitate your senses, somehow or the other agitate your senses, right? And there is sometimes you will see this is now more a fashion, that many businesses, they find some names, the shop name itself is senses. It says how it agitates your senses, right? So, able to control senses and directed towards liberation, that is moksham, right? That means proper knowledge is one who has knowledge of liberation, right? And one who is always conscious of this, that I am not the body. I am not the body, right? The moment you start feeling that you are the body, all the limitations of the body has come on you. All the limitations of the body. The moment you think that you are the body, all the limitations of the body takes control of you. And that is bandham. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are strongly identifying with the body, the limitations of the body is controlling you straight away. Right? I am thinking this body is mine. But the body is not thinking in the same way. Like I am thinking about the body. Right? Body is not saying, I belong to, the body belongs to me. Body is not saying, I am going and holding on to the body. And thinking, saying that body is mine. Body is not saying, that body is not saying to anyone, that body belongs to me. But I am saying, the body is mine. Right? So, body leaves us when its time is over. It will leave us, right? And the body also gives you a lot of experiences in life, right? And it is not for my purpose that the body was given. Body has come, Maya has given that body, right? And I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is not for my existence. It was not for in that way, right? So I am pure Chaitanyam, Sachidanandam, right? This knowledge, always this knowledge, that is moksha. That is moksha. You will see Krishna reminding us this all the time. In the Bhagavatam also, right? So when he spoke about the, in the 10th chapter, he will say this, right? That how one should relate with one's own body, right? He is saying here, atra vikarmanam kartum, 17th verse. Atra vikarmanam kartum, asvatandram jalakshade, boktuscha dukkasukhayo, ko anyarto vivasham bhajed. Who will care for this body when it is only giving you asvatandram and also dukham sukham? This is all the body is supplying us throughout, right? Na dehinam sukham kinchil vidyade vidushamabhi tadhamcha dukham mothanam vrutha ahangaranam param yadi praptim vighadam cha janandi sukha dukhayoho tepyadhana viduryogam mrityurna prabhavedhyatha. What all anxiety the body creates in us, in our journey in this world, right? Ko anvartha sukhayatyenam kamo va mrityu andige akhadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. When you are carrying this body throughout your life, all it does is, it is allowing you for sense gratification to some extent, and finally it gives you death. And all the sense gratification it offers you is also risky, and the death is also creates fear. Akhadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. When a person is in that situation, Krishna is saying that that body will be taken away from him any moment. It is something like somebody has been condemned to be hung, and that person, how far he'll be happy? In the same way, when you know the body is going to go very soon, especially when you get closer to that death, you start feeling that it can be gone anytime, and this world, it doesn't matter anymore what happens in this world, right? So, in many, many places, Krishna is saying this, that yaval syal guna vaishamyam thavan nanatvam alpana nanatvam alpano yaval paradandriyam tadaivahi yavad asyal asudandratvam thavad ishwarado bhayam ya edal samupasiram semukhyam vishujar pidaha. So, obviously, all these verses are referring, pointing out to this one principle, that this spiritual knowledge and the knowledge must be working all the time inside, right? So, and that awareness, right, knowing that always is moksham, and not knowing that is bondage. So that's how bondage and moksham has to be understood, right? And they'll say like this in the medical field, they say that disease diagnosed is half cure. Diagnosis of a disease itself is a big problem. Medicine comes later, isn't it? But how to diagnose a particular disease, right? So, that's how they say, that half diagnosed is half cure, they say, right? So, our main problem is this bondage, right? Indriya vikshepam is bondage, right? Moksham indriya samyamam, Krishna said that. So, another thing he said, that ignorance or not knowing things is bondage. That means what is truth and what is false, we don't know. They live like that, right? And that means proper knowledge is not there. That is bondage. Which means identification with the body. It is bondage, identification with the body, right? Similarly, if you do not execute karmam as a yogam, karma yogam, then you will be bound by the karmam. That is bondage, right? So, after a certain age in life, one should get to understand all these things, at least after a certain age, right? Becoming free from karmam is like coming out of this Padmavyuham. Padmavyuham is the one what they created during Mahabharata war to trap Abhimanyu. They did that, Padmavyuham, right? And it is impossible to get out of it. Ultimately, Abhimanyu died in that, right? So, when to stop karmam, how to stop karmam, one has to learn that, right? And even while doing that, niyadam karma kurvidam, he says, niyadam karma kurvidam, that he also has to know that the niyada karma, what we discussed yesterday, is not. Niyadam, he said that niyadam sangarehidam. What is niyadam? The karmam that has come to you by niyadi, by destiny, what you are supposed to be doing in this world. Yeah. So, niyadam, niyada karmam, that is your circle within which you are meant to operate, right? It's in your hand, and the anything that is not in your hand is bandham. So, that karmam, sarvam paravasham dukkham. If you give everything, responsibility to others, right, then you will get trapped in that. That means, not saying that you have to be perfect in life, right, but you have to remain in so simple in life that if you operate within your field, then you are not causing problem to anybody, right? Otherwise, if you expect perfection in life, you will never have peace in life. If you are always expecting perfection in everything what you do. And the idea is, by saying all these things, what Krishna is pointing out is that in life we had a field of karma. For a long period of time, we got engaged in karma. How to become free from that karma, right? How to close it down once for all, in such a way one should live in this world with such a simplicity that he can become free from his field of karma very quickly. And one who knows how to do that, he has got sattvika buddhi. That is Krishna's point. Yeah? You can, what he says here, this verse is quite subtle. Pravrtincha nivrtincha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham jaya veti buddhisa partha sattviki. Karmam has eaten us, life, whole life was eaten in karmam. Karmam ate us totally. You got caught in that. And you got caught in that and you got entangled in that so much that when you know that you have to leave this world, you have to wind up at some point in time this field of karma. But Krishna is pointing outside, that is where this knowledge of bandham and moksham becomes important. If you have no knowledge of moksham, liberation, and if you don't know what pravritti and nivritti, you won't be able to become yourself free from the bondage of karma. Karma will drive you all the way right up to the end without allowing you to create that shanti inside before we leave the body. These are things to be thought through, because old age, a lot of people, you can see how they, old age becomes a disaster for them. In various ways, they get entangled in life. And because this knowledge is missing them, Krishna is saying all the time, Krishna repeats this, that at least by the time of death, you should be free from this world, from family life, from money, from karma, from everything. No more bondage anymore. That freedom for yourself, that's what he is referring to. He said, one who is conscious of that, he is in the sattvihi. His buddhi is in the right place. That's what he is saying here. yadha pravrtincha nivrtincha. He knows pravrti and nivrti well. Karya akarye bhaya bhaye. While engaging in karmam, he is fearful and fearless, knowing well what karmam should be done, what shouldn't be done. Bandham moksham chaya veti. He knows what bondage means, what liberation means, how to be organized that way in life. Buddhim apartha sattviki. His buddhi is sattviki. He says there, right? So that simplicity in life and making it more and more simple as you get older. At a certain stage in life, when you have, first you have to come out of the karma. And then you have to keep making life as simple as possible in such a way that you can close it down any time and leave this world in such a way. And that, not that you keep on increasing it, because karma is there, I keep on doing it for the whole life. That is not intelligence. That's what Krishna is saying there. Right? So, satya buddhi, right? So, and one should be conscious of this all the time, right? Otherwise, he won't be able to come out of it when he wants it. You will be bound by other people. People around you will bind you. The wealth will bind you. And so many other things. Karmam can bind you in various ways, right? So, it will be like Abhimanyu. You will go into the Padmavyuham. You won't be able to come out of it. That's how troublesome it is, right? So, without all, knowing all these things and without becoming free from this karma, straight away if you come to Vedantam, you won't be peaceful inside. So that is another thing. You know, this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is such that a certain shanti is necessary to experience this, what Bhagavad Gita is talking about, right? So, karmam is nothing but playing the drums outside in the world. It's like that, karmam. You are going in the world and you are doing so many things. Just like the drummers play the drum, you are playing your karmam. That's all, right? And if you have not understood how to play the drum properly, then whole drum playing can become a big bondage, right? So, and if you will see this in great personalities, they don't entangle themselves more than absolute necessary, only they will do things at that time, right? And and at the same time, they are very alert about what is happening around them. That they'll make sure that they don't get bound by the circumstances or the environment around them. So, in Ramana Maharshi's case, there is an incident about this. He was living somewhere in one place, and there some people said, oh, we should have an ashram and all that. You know how people are. They want to have an ashram around him, right? So, and then the people who are organizing that, right, some problem happened with the other people somewhere around that area. And there was, it ended up in a court case with the land involved in the ashram, right? Maharshi had no interest in all these things. He is in a different state of consciousness, right? So he thought himself that this is no point in hanging around with these people. He left the place and walked away from there. Completely left the whole thing and walked away from there. Then he came to another place, and in a short period of time, there also another ashram started building up around him. Right? So, because the reason is this, that people come, he was very aware of that from his past experience, that another group of people are coming and they will create problems. He knew about that. Right? The reason is that people who are coming, they are not in that consciousness. They have desires, expectations when they come. Right? And it is these people who are running the show. Ashrams, temples and all that, they are the people who are running that. Right? They don't know Vedantam, they don't have any jnanam, they don't have any spiritual life. They are there to manage the ashram or the temple, whatever it may be. Right? And you can see this, Krishna had problems. What to talk about anybody else? Right? And but because Krishna knows the secret of karma, right? That's what he is saying here. That you have to know your karma, and you have to know where you have to stand in all these things, right? Otherwise, you will be trapped in that. While living in this world, even while associating with institutions and temples, you have to know where you stand, what purpose, what is in your life, what is important, right? And that knowledge is required, otherwise you will be swept away by that forces, by such forces. And that knowledge is bandham and moksham. That's what he is saying here. Pravartimcha nivurtimcha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham jaya veti buddhisa partha sattviki sattvikam, right? That means knowing this very well, what is bondage, what is liberation. You can get bondage in the temple, you can bondage in the ashram also. Many people, it happens like that, right? That buddhi, it is not simple intellect, right? It's not complex, right? It is, it's a simple intellect to know this, that how not to live in this world, not to get bound anywhere with anything. Because ultimately, you have to withdraw from the world before the time to leave the world, right? So, complex intellect, people have got very complex intellect, they won't understand this. It is the simple people who will understand these things, right? And people with simple intellect, they will very easily get out of these entanglements, right? And that is, Krishna says, sattvika buddhi, right? If the buddhi is shantam and steady, then very easily they will come out of this bondage, right? And he knows what he has to do in this world, right? And he knows that he has to leave everything. He is conscious of all that, all the time, right? And because of that, he knows that he has to leave everything. He is always conscious that what he should do and what he should not do, what he should be fearful, what he shouldn't be fearful. And he also knows what is bondage and what is liberation. And Krishna says, this is education. This is education. And you should understand your mission. When to retire, right? What should be done and not to be done, and what you should be careful, and what is fearlessness, and ultimately, what is spiritual freedom? It is a part of spiritual freedom, because spirituality is vairagyam at the end. Vairagyam is the one. Vairagyam is something that we become free from these bondages, right? At this bondage, Krishna is saying here, what is bondage and what is freedom? And at this knowledge, all this knowledge should be there, he says, and this is sattvika buddhi. So you can understand from this, right? Tatra jnanam buddhe vrittihi, buddhi tu vrittimadi, dhridhi, abhi, vritti vishesha eva buddhehe. So knowledge of the buddhi, jnanam, and that steadiness in that, and living a life and able to come out of it from all entanglement and becoming free from all attachments, all entanglements, and that vairagyam coming inside and becoming free from these connections here. That Krishna says it is buddhisa partha sattviki. It is sattvika buddhi, he says there. Let us look at the next one. Rajasi buddhi. Yadha dharmam adharmam cha, karyam chakaryam eva cha, ayadhavad prajanadi, buddhisa partha rajasi. Krishna says, yadha dharmam shastra chodidam, adharmam chatat pratishiddham, karyam chakaryam eva cha, purvokte eva karya karye, ayadhavad na yadhavad sarvato nirnayena, na prajanadi buddhihi sa partha rajasi. Knowing what is Shastram says, dharmam adharmam, he is conscious of that very much, right? But this person, he won't know this. Rajasam, one in Rajasam. He don't know what is dharmam, what is adharmam, right? That means everything, he won't know it in the proper way. It should be known. He won't know that, right? And to know something in a proper way, what is dharma, right? And he won't know, he will know in the improper way, not in the proper way. He will think about it like that, right? So when we engage in a karma, able to make a decision that he is doing in the right way, and that is dharma, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here. Ayadhavat prajanadi. See that? Buddhisa partha rajasi. Ayadhavat means that he does not understand it in the proper way, the dharma. Right? Ayadhavat prajanadi. For him, he defines dharma, what dharma means. Means he does not look into Shastram or Mahatmas, what they have spoken about anything. He does not consult anybody. He makes his own dharma, rules of dharma, right? Ayathavat yada dharma. Ayathavat prajanadi, right? So, in other words, everything he will understand upside down. His understanding will be upside down. And that is Rajasa Buddhi, he says here. That is Rajasa Buddhi. So, Rajasa Buddhi is totally opposite to the Satya Buddhi. You can see Satya Rajasa, big differences, always, right? Then, what is tamasa buddhi? Next verse. Adharmam dharmam idiya manyade tamasavrada sarva arthan vibharidamsha buddhisa partha tamasi. Right? Because of tamogunam in a person, in his buddhi, due to that, everything adharmam he will see as dharma. Everything adharmam he will see as dharma. And he will do everything totally opposite. And that is tamogunam. Adharmam pratishiddham dharmam vihidam idiya manyate janati tamasa avrda sadi sarvartan sarvan eva jnaya padarthan viparidan cha viparidan eva vijanati buddhihi sapartha tamasi. So Shastram says so many things forbidden, nishedham, adharmam, right? And he will consider all that as dharma. Whatever Shastram has said adharmam, he will consider that as adharmam, right? And whatever one should know in life, he would have learned all that in the opposite way. That means absolutely no idea about Shastram, about the great personalities, what they have taught this world, and his buddhi will always work in the opposite direction, right? So, it is these people whom we normally call as Rakshasas, Rakshasic nature, it's like that. They will say that adharmam is dharmam, and they will always try to knock down Sanadana dharma. That's their nature. You can see in several people nowadays, they try to knock it down. Sanadana dharmam, they will try to knock it down, right? So, they will make propaganda. All these temples are waste of time and money. Why do we need temples? You are wasting a lot of milk, yogurt in the temple for Abhishek and all that. That should be given to poor people. This kind of ideas comes from their head. Similarly, temples, land. Why do we, temples should not have the land? It should be given to the poor people. This ideology, the Rakshasic ideology this is, that is tamasa. Tamasa buddhi, that is. Tamasa buddhi brings out all these kind of ideas. Then they will question the authority of the Shastram. Whatever is written in the Shastram, they won't accept it. Instead, they will try to find all the faults they can in the Shastram and glorify that. These people are there in this world. We know how they operate, right? And similarly, they will, as much as possible, they will offend the saintly people and who are following Shastram, and Acharya Purushas, they will as much insult them and look down upon them. And everything negative way, they live a life like that. And they will, even though they will talk about all these things against temples, against Shastram, if they can make money out of it, they'll use it also. This kind of thing, nature. This kind of nature. So, so in other words, adharmam is their slogan. Everything centered around adharmam. And that is what Krishna is saying here, right? That buddhisa sarva arthan viparidamsya. അധർമ്മം ധർമ്മമിതിയ മന്യതേ തമസാവൃത സർവ അർത്ഥാൻ വിപരീതാംശ്ച ബുദ്ധിസ പാർത്ഥ താമസി. എവ്രിതിങ് സീയിങ് ഇൻ എ നെഗറ്റീവ് വേ. ദേ വിൽ സേ ടെമ്പിൾസ് ആർ നോട്ട് നെസസറി, യജ്ഞം യാഗം ഓൾ ഈസ് നോട്ട് നെസസറി, ആൻഡ് ദേ വിൽ ഡു തിങ്സ് ഓൾസോ ഇൻ സച്ച് എ വേ ദാറ്റ് ശാസ്ത്രം, ദേ വിൽ ടേൺ അഗൈൻ ശാസ്ത്രം, ബിക്കോസ് ദേ അധർമ്മിക് നേച്ചർ ഇൻ ദം, a demonic nature, the rakshasa nature in them, that always their buddhi will only go in that direction, how to find fault in the shastram. And they will say, in India it is very strong, this rakshasic nature in many people, and they will criticize Bhagavad Gita, criticize Bhagavatam, criticize Vedic literature, and criticize the rishis, and criticize varnashram dharma, criticize temples, everything as much as possible, they will knock it down, maximum capacity. And that demonic nature, that is tamasam. That's what he's saying. Buddhisa, that buddhi is tamasam. So basically, that's a sick nature, right? when tamogunam enters into buddhi, what happens is, everything becomes upside down, right? Tamoguna pradhanam buddhi. And that is what he is saying here. So, adharmam dharmamidhiya manyade tamasavrata sarvarthan vibiridamsya buddhisa partha tamasi. Rajogunam and tamogunam, if you study things, you will see they are quite close to each other. Huge difference between sattugunam and rajogunam. So, most of the people float between rajas and tamas. They are floating all the time. Very rarely they enter into Sattugunam. When Sattugunam comes in, their life changes in a big way. Everything will change in them. And when you don't see changes happening in people's life, you can take it that they are always floating between this Rajogunam and Tamogunam. You can see everything centered around Sattugunam is very noble qualities. Vairagyam, Bhakti, Jnanam, things like that. That's not developing inside. That means this Rajas and Tamas is always affecting them. So, after saying that, he says that Dhridhi, the next one. Now we spoke about Buddhi. Now Dhridhi in three modes. Satyagam, Rajasa, Tamasam, right? Dhrityayaya dharayate mana pranendriya kriya yogena avyabhijarinyam dhridhisa partha satviki. Dhridhi means dharana shakti. Dharana shakti means, what does dharana shakti means? Dharana shakti means your capacity to absorb things proper way. Capacity to absorb, right? Many people don't have capacity to absorb things. So that's why they have no taste for shastram, because of that. Because dharana shakti is not there. If you speak to them about shastram, something from shastram, they will just think, this is not for me, they will say. There are people like that. This is not for me. I can only do some service, nothing more than that. And they will walk away from that. Because it's not going in. Dharana Shakti is not there. In the for this only in Vedam, in children, in order to create this Dharana Shakti, there is some suktam for that. Metha suktam. All these Medha Suktam, they generally chant, especially the Brahmana boys, they chant this Medha Suktam daily, so that you will see the difference in them. When they grow up, they very quiet, but they will understand things much deeper level than an average grown-up person. That capacity to absorb knowledge without much of a problem inside, then Medha Shakti, Dharana Shakti, it increases in them. So, how does that happen? Because if you control mind and senses, Samyamanam, right? And through that, his mind is under control, senses are under control, and his pranani is also under control, Jnanendriyam, Karmendriyam, everything under control, right? And he is able to control them to such an extent
that his dharana shakti will be very good. And that person who has dharana shakti in that way, it is sattva pradhanam, is saying here. Dhritisa partha sattvigi. In other words, dhritya yaya dharayate mana pranendriya kriya yogena avyabhijarinyam dhritisa partha sattvigi. This one's referring to sattvagunam for all this, jnanam, karma, karta, buddhi, now dhriti. You must read the ones related to sattvagunam. That is most important. And then you will know where you stand. This is for evaluating ourselves, not for analyzing others, analyzing oneself, right? So if you read the one referring to sattvagunam, what is sattva, in mood of sattvagunam, how all these things work, then you will know that how far we have away from that. Yeah? What the problems are, what we have, right? So here he is saying here, this person or this young child or boy who has that dhriti by which dharayate mana pranendriya kriya yogena avyabhicharinyam. That means manasa, pranan, indriyam, all these things and this kriya, all these things is under control, always under control. And due to that, his dharana shakti will be very strong. And that is in sattvaguna, sattvaguna pradhanam. Dhrityaya avyabhijarinyam iti vivahidena sambandha dharayade kim mana pranendriya kriyaha manaja prana cha manaha cha pranaha cha indriyani cha manaha pranendriyani chesham kriyaha cheshta uchastra marga pravarte dharayadi dhrityahi dharyamanam uchastra vishayana bhavandi yogena samadhana avyabhijarinya nitya samadhyanu gadaya ityarthaha. So some people who are capable of controlling their mind, pranan, senses, everything through yoga sadhana, they control them through yoga sadhana, right? Able to keep them in their place and able to be focused in spiritual life, seriously, in a shastric way, shastric way, right? One who lives like that, his buddhi is sattvigam. His buddhi, buddhi is sattvigam, right? Edad uttam bhavati avyabhijaranyam dhritya mana pranendriya dharyamana yogena dharayati idya evam lakshana dhritisa partha sattvigi. So if one is able to control his mind, pranan, senses, all these things and their activities through yoga process, this is what Patanjali's yoga system is all about, right? And if he is able to do that, his dharana shakti or dhairyam, dhriti, becomes sattvigam. It becomes sattvigam. That is what he is saying there. Right? So, moksha sannyasa yogam, that's what the topic is, what we are discussing now. Right? Moksham, Krishna is talking about moksham means self-realization, knowledge of the self. Basically, that's what means, knowledge of the self. He's not talking about Vaikuntham, Golokam and all that. That is liberation state. Moksham, what Krishna is referring to here, Moksha Sannyasa Yogam, moksham refers to knowledge of the self, self-realization in other words, right? And knowledge of, that is in the Vedantam, it is like that, right? That means, Atma Swarupam, who are we? What is our identity? That is what is moksham means, right? Similarly, this Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Brahmalokam, Golokam, all these things are spoken in the Puranam. They are spoken in the Puranam, right? And if you have reached that state of consciousness, if it has to happen, it has to happen here, now. Right? If it happens, then it is perfect, right? So, and you will be totally satisfied. This is how Upanishads talk about it. Yeah? And that is why when you study this Puranams, Upanishads and all that, the proper conclusion is Upanishads' conclusions. In the Keno Upanishad, it will say like this, Ida cheda vedi atha satyamasti na chediha vedi na mahadi vinashti bhudeshu bhudeshu vijitya dhiraha
pratyatmake logat amrita bhavanti iti kenomanishad dvitiya khandaha. Kenomanishad is saying, if one has realized it here, then there is truth, right? If he has not realized here, then there is greater destruction. Because you don't know what will happen after death. If you haven't experienced the truth here, now, then to say that you will all get it at a later date, after death, to live like that in this world is not very spiritual. If spiritually you have something has to happen, it has to happen now here. That's what he's saying. Iha cheda vedi atha satyam asti. That alone is the truth, right? Na chedi ha vedi mahadi vinashti. If it has not happened here, you can say that you have not gained very much. If you have not experienced some self-realization here, to some stage, to some degree, even if it has not become perfect, he says in the beginning also, Esham Brahminsthiti Partha, at least you should do this, he said. Krishna says in second chapter, right? So that is how Bhagavad Gita sees, how Upanishad sees that, right? So, when you see in all living entities, same vastu, that means Atma, present in everyone, right? Then we become free when that happens, right? And it has to happen here itself, right? As long as we have a little bit of Veda Buddhi inside, then self-realization is not possible. Veda Buddhi has to leave us. In Vedantam, they will say these things in a different way. For example, how do you know that this oneness of present in others, how do you experience that? The proof of that is spoken that when you see the suffering of others and others' suffering, if you are experiencing it, that means that you are experiencing the presence of Antaryami in others. Normally, if I am suffering, I will know that. But if you are suffering, I won't know that. What? Everybody is suffering in this world. There is no doubt about that. Anxiety, fear, various problems, diseases, and all kinds of problems people have in this world. Everyone has. Nobody is free from that. Even big celebrities, they suffer from that. That is why they are the ones who commit maximum suicide and all that, when they can't handle it anymore. With all their wealth and all their name and fame, they commit suicide. Why? So everybody is suffering here. That's an established fact. Krishna also says that. So, everybody is suffering here. But the problem is that I know my suffering, but I won't know somebody else's suffering. This is the problem. So it is difficult for me to feel so compassion for others because I don't know his suffering, what other person is going through. You're only seeing a person's outside. What is going on inside, you are not aware of that. Is it not? So, but when you start experiencing somebody else's suffering inside me, then what that means is, I have Chitta Shuddhi then. Chitta Shuddhi has come to me, and because I'm experiencing others' suffering within me, if I feel genuinely, if I experience the suffering of others, what that means is that your self-realize, this sarvatma bhavam is coming. That's the indication of that. Sarvatma bhavam means seeing that one truth present in everyone. Sarvatma bhavam, atma is one, that is present in everybody. That sarvatma bhavam is the goal. That is what all the other mahatmas are showing to us. Sarvatma bhavam. That sarvatma bhavam, how comes to us, the indication is this. That if you feel the suffering of others, not just saying, oh, what, showing some, sometimes people say some kind of compassion to others and speak a few words, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Not that kind of thing. That is just a worldly etiquette. You say somebody is suffering, you just tell them, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, somebody died, I'm sorry to hear that.
or someone failed in the exam, I say, you're sorry to hear that. Or some relations broke down, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Things like that. You will just say one or two words just to express your... That is just on the lips only. It is not inside. Right? But when you see some people suffering in this world, everybody is suffering, first of all, that understanding. And you have to observe that suffering, and it is affecting, you are feeling that suffering. That is an indication that Sarvatma Bhavam is coming, Chitta Shuddhi is happening, and that is the way it is to be understood. Right? So tomorrow we will discuss this Dhridhi in Rajasam and in the Tamasam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.